Bruch HaMaboyim, everybody. Another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Vayeshev. And as we mentioned last year, the Tuesday night Parsha Shir, Parsha Insights, is being sponsored for an entire year. L'Zecher Nishmas, U'Le'ile Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serena, and Leon Ben Rachel. We're mispallel that Be'ezus Hashem, the Chizuk, that we're able to get from the Divrei Torah, and hopefully as it enhances our Shabbos Kodesh for the entire year, these shiurim are sponsored, L'Zecher Nishmas, U'Le'ile Nishmas, Rebecca, Bas, Serena, and Leon Ben Rachel. Be'ezus Hashem, their neshama, each neshama tahira zol habin, a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. Insights into Parshas Vayeshev. The dreams, take a look in the beginning of the parasha, resulted in the brothers having sinah and kinah, hatred and jealousy towards their brother. It's something that I mentioned a few weeks ago when I was talking about Kibud Av V'Em. I'm quickly going to mention it again simply because we're going over the psukim and it's such a powerful explanation, it would be a shame. It might even be wrong not to. A number of years ago, as I heard the story, there was a boy in one of the yeshivas who asked his Rebbe a question. I don't understand the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, the two dreams that Yosef had are really because of the Ksinus Pasim. That coat prompted the brothers to have sinah and kinah, hatred and jealousy. So the boy asked his Rebbe, why was the sinah, you might remember, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, why was the sinah that they had towards their brother, why wasn't it would seem to be more accurate towards their father? Yaakov is the one who made the Ksinus Pasim. He's the one who made the coat. He's the one who gave it to Yosef. So why then was the sinah, that hatred geared from the brothers to Yosef, why wasn't it geared from the brothers to their father? After all, Yaakov Avinu was the one who made the Ksinus Pasim. And the Rebbe looked in countless Sfarim for an answer to that question. It seemed like a very, very powerful question. Indeed, why was their hatred towards their brother, not towards their father? As often as the Rebbe looked in countless Sfarim, he couldn't find the question asked. And obviously he didn't have an answer. So as I heard the story many times, he sent the Shaila Targadol Hador of Chaim Kanievsky, and the response he got is absolutely frightening. Reb Chaim responded to the Rebbe, you're right. You looked in all the Svarim from previous generations, you're not going to find that question asked, because essentially, what is the question? The boy wanted to know, why is the hatred geared towards their brother? It should be geared towards their father. Reb Chaim said that in previous generations, that question was inconceivable. One wasn't able to think of that notion. One wasn't able to have that comment, well, why wasn't the hatred geared towards a parent? He told the Rebbe that you're not going to find that in any sefer from a previous generation, because that concept that a child would just go ahead and hate a father, that wasn't found in earlier generations. But in this generation, where unfortunately in many situations there's a total breakdown of that one of the Aseres HaDibros of Kibud Av V'Em, then all of a sudden, that question could be asked, as indeed it was asked. Why was the hatred geared towards the brother? It should have been towards the father. And obviously it's a frightening explanation because of how telling it is, how far we are from the proper havana, the depths and profundity and quantity and quality of what that one of the Aseres HaDibros, Kibud Av, Kabbalah Sanicha Vesimecha, is supposed to look like. Imagine Reb Chaim is saying, you're right, it's not found in earlier generations. Why wasn't the hatred towards a parent? That concept didn't exist, and now it does. There's a story that I said over a number of weeks ago. We'll quickly repeat it before we go on to the next Dvar Torah. That story that I just shared with you with our Gadol Ador, Reb Chaim, Zoller Gesund und Stark sein, is made all the more powerful when you put it in the light and context of the following mice. And I heard this from multiple Rashi HaYeshiva. Many decades ago, a daughter of the Stipler, Rebbetzin Barzam, she was talking to her father, and she told her father that Chaim, Reb Chaim's back is hurting. So the Stipler quickly went down the block on Rehov Rashbam to his son, the brother of Rebbetzin Barzam, to our Gadol Ador Reb Chaim, hearing that his back is hurting. He found Reb Chaim, of course, sitting by a shtender learning. The Stipler walked in and said to his son, stop learning, you have to go now into bed. Lie in bed. And of course, his father told him that. That's exactly what Reb Chaim did. As I heard from more than one Rosh Hashiva, the Stipler also took an oil or different oils and started to massage it into the back of Reb Chaim. And he told his son, remain in the bed until the morning. He then came home. His daughter, Rebbetzin Barzam, asked Tati, asked the Stipler where he was. And he said, you told me that Reb Chaim's back was hurting. She said to her father, the Stipler, I didn't mean my brother, Reb Chaim. I meant my new son-in-law, Reb Chaim Kluft. His back, Reb Chaim Kluft, his back is the one that's hurting. Now pause the story right there for a moment. Never at any point that the Stipler went down the block to his son Reb Chaim and told him, go into bed and started, he took off his shirt and he started to massage oils into his back. At no point did he say to his father, Tati, what are you doing? His father told him to get into bed. He told him. He told him to take off his shirt. He told him. His father told him he put in the oils. He didn't just get exactly what his father told him. It makes the story that I told you when we started that much more remarkable. That's why Reb Chaim could say, because until this generation, the idea of the hatred should be towards the father. It was non-existent. It wasn't conceivable. But now in our generation where there's been such a breakdown, unfortunately, Nebuch of Kibbutz of Aim, so the notion could be entertained. Why wasn't the hatred towards the father? But listen to it in light of that Maaser of Reb Chaim. At no point did he go ahead and question his father and say, but my back is fine. Why am I getting into bed? Why am I taking off my shirt? Why are oils being rubbed into my back? His father told us to do A, B, C, D, and E. He did everything. Upon hearing from his daughter that it wasn't his son, Reb Chaim, but it was her son-in-law, Reb Chaim Kluft, he said, I know my son. If I told him to do it, he's still going to be into bed. He's still going to be in bed. So the Stipler went back down the block to the house of Reb Chaim, and sure enough, he found him lying in the bed. And all the Stipler walked in and told his son was, okay, now you can get out of bed and go back to the shtender. And that's exactly the way the story happened. And at no point, not in the beginning, not in the middle, not afterwards, when the Stipler told him, even at that point, Reb Chaim didn't say, but Tati, why did I have to stop? And why were there oils rubbed in time? Why was our bed? And after what? His father told him to do it. He did it. When I was telling over a number of weeks ago this story and many other similar stories, I think that at the very least, even if when you hear this story and others that seem to be on such a high exalted level, it's important for us to hear them, number one, to know that the musig and this level of kibbutz av does exist. And it's what's demanded of us. And at the very least, to up our game a little bit. Kol echad ve'echad. There are a lot of people in the Heichal, people on the phone, people who will Bez Hashem listen to the recording. Everyone take it upon themselves that kibbutz av ve'eim is upped. Level both in quantity and quality. Now's not the time because it's not a shiur on kibbutz av ve'eim. But when I spoke about it recently, I mentioned that it applies whether a person is privileged to have both parents, a person has one parent, and if a person doesn't have either parent, there are many, many practical and tangible ways to mamish fulfill that one of the Aseres HaDibros. Let us at least begin Parshas Vayeshev with an awareness that Reb Chaim tells us that until this generation, you're not going to find the question asked, why wasn't the hatred towards a parent? Because that concept couldn't exist. If you take a look, there's a pshat from the Beis Halev who we've mentioned in the past. I'm just going to briefly remind the Olam of the pshat. Take a look in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Hopefully you have the Chumashim open, and hopefully if you're listening at home or the recording, you have it open as well. As a result of the first dream, what does Pasuk say? Lamed Zayin Dalet. Lamed Zayin Dalet. Vayisnu Oisai. They hated him. That was the result of the first dream. As you see, Vayisifo Otsno. So, but if you take a look a little bit later on, Pasuk Yud Aleph, look at Lamed Zayin Yud Aleph. There the reaction was a different one. Vayikanu Boy Echav, they were jealous of him. The great Beis Halevi, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, wants to know, why was their reaction in the first dream, Sina, hatred, whereas their reaction to the second dream was Kina, jealousy? Unbelievable question. And look inside, you'll notice something else. Take a look in the first dream when all of the bundles were bowing down. The bundles represented the brothers. What did those bundles bow down to? The last two words of Pasuk Zayin. Look inside, Lamed Zayin Zayin, the last two words. Vatishtachavena la'alumasi. They bowed down to my bundle. Now take a look, a few psukim later, the last couple of words of Pasuk Tes, the sun and the moon representing father and mother, and the stars representing the Shvatim. It doesn't say that they bowed down the Kochavi to my star. It says, Mishtachavim li, they bowed down to me. Why is it that in the first dream with the bundles, all of the bundles bowed down to Yosef's bundle, but in the second dream, instead of bowing down to Yosef's star, they seem to actually bow down to Yosef himself? Two extraordinary questions. And basically what the Beis Halevi tells us is the difference in the dreams. The first dream that was the dream of the bundles, that ultimately represented that Yosef was going to be superior to his brothers in physical wealth, in the fact that he was the ruler, the viceroy of Mitzrayim, and he had tremendous wealth. The second dream, the one about the sun and moon and the stars, that represents the mazalos, the constellations, the spiritual, that represented that Yosef HaTzadik would be greater than them in the spiritual realm. So let's quickly repeat. The first dream of the bundles represented his superiority in the physical. The second dream with the sun, moon, and stars represented his superiority in the spiritual. Says the Beis Halevi, now he answered both questions so beautifully. When a person has more wealth or greater physical assets than another person, that doesn't make him a better person. It means that that house makes the other house feel badly. That car makes the other car, so to speak, feel badly. But is the person who has the greater material wealth because of his wealth per se a better person? No. But in the spiritual, somebody who has more Torah, more Chochmah, greater Midas, does more mitzvahs, performs more chesed, that makes the person better. Memela, in the first dream of the bundles, which represented the material and physical superiority, there it doesn't say that the bundles bow down to Yosef, because there the person isn't to be bowed down to. The person per se is not a greater person. Therefore, what does it say? Mishtachavim la'alumasi, to the bundle, like one house to another, one car to another, one bundle to another. But it doesn't make the actual person someone who becomes bowed down to. But in the second dream, which was the dream of the physical, of the spiritual, the ruchnius, there indeed the person who has more Torah, more chesed, more tzidkus, more righteousness, he's a better person. And therefore it correctly says that the stars bow down, li, to Yosef himself, because that was something that was worthy to bow down to the actual person for. It also explains the difference in reaction. How did they respond to the first dream? Sin of hatred. How did they respond to the second dream? Kin of jealousy. Oh, when it comes to the physical superiority, somebody's going to have more money, The brothers understood. That's not something to be jealous of. That's not something you have kinna. You're jealous over another person because they have greater physical assets or spiritual wealth. Physical wealth, excuse me, monetary wealth. There was no kinna, but there was sinna. There was the hatred because ultimately it meant that they would have to come on to him when they needed him. However, when it comes to the spiritual, the ruchnias, there it doesn't say that there was any sinna. You don't hate the person for being a greater tzaddik, a greater chacham, a more righteous person. There you're supposed to have kinna, you're supposed to have jealousy. Don't achachamim teach us, kinnas soifrim tarbe chachma. If you have jealousy that somebody is a greater person than you spiritually, that jealousy is a good thing. Because that jealousy will want you to create more shiurim and baruch Hashem and go to more minyanim and try harder in ruchnius and try harder in chesed and try harder in learning Torah. That jealousy is a jealousy that's properly placed. And so the Beis Halevi uses that one yesoi to answer both questions. Since the first dream represented the superiority of the physical, it doesn't say they bowed down to him. Nor was there any place for kinna. You're not jealous of that. Certainly the Shvatim knew not to be jealous of that. But when it came to the second dream, which represented the mazolis, the constellations, the spiritual, the ruchnias, there it says that they bowed down li to Yosef himself. The person's a greater person. The person who's a bigger chacham, a bigger tzaddik. That person is a greater person. And that's something to be jealous of. Because that kinna vayikanu could bring about kinna say from Tar B'chachma. I also want to work harder on Tefillah B'Tzibur and Shmira Shabbos. I also want to work harder on attending more shiurim and being more careful with my Shmira Saloshan. I also want to improve my Bein Adam L'Chaver and Bein Adam L'Atzoy and Bein Adam L'Mokoyim just like the other person. There, when it comes to the spiritual, there's no room for sinna, only properly placed kinna. Take a look a little bit later on, Lamed Zayin Tezvav. Lamed Zayin Tezvav. How do you explain this pasuk? The pasuk says, "Vayimtzeehu ish." A man found him. "Vehine toya basade," he was lost in the field. Now, of course, the person that was lost in the field was Yosef. Yosef was wandering, he was lost, and the pasuk says, "Vayimtzeehu ish," a man discovered him. I'd like to do something interesting with your permission. There's a well-known pshat that we said last year when we had this week's parsha from the Heilige Sanzer, the Divrei Chaim. The Sanzer, the Divrei Chaim, Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, has a very powerful pshat. However, in preparing for tonight's shir, I also found a pshat in Mishulchan Gavoya brought down from the great Rosh Hashiva of Chatzkel Abramsky. And I felt that these two pshatim, that which we said last year from the Sanzer Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim, I'd like to use as a part to that which Chatzkel Abramsky says. What is it that we said last year, and what is it that I want to add? There's a well-known vort that the Divrei Chaim tells us. He wonders, take a look at Rashi on the words, Vayimtzeehu ish. Look at Rashi inside. Lamed Zayin Tesvav, look at Rashi inside. Let's participate and do it together. What does Rashi say on the Pasuk? Who was this ish? Rashi tells us, Ze Gavriel. It was the great Malach Gavriel. But did you ever wonder, in last week's Parsha, the Pasuk tells us that there was somebody who wrestled with Yaakov Avinu until dawn, the break of dawn. If you take a look at that Pasuk, you don't have to turn back now, but if you do it later when you go home, take a look at Lamed Beis Chof Hei. Lamed Beis Chof Hei, there it says, Vayeovik ish imoy, a man wrestled with him, Avalois HaShachar, ish, ish. Who was that ish? Rashi says, Sorei Shel Esav, the guardian angel of Esav, like Satan, Yetzahara. How did Rashi know? How did Rashi know in last week's Parsha when it says the word ish, and this week's Parsha? Do you see that it says the same word, ish and ish? Yet Rashi translated the word ish last week as the angel of Esav. And Rashi translated the word ish in this week's parsha as Gavriel. How did Rashi know? What did Rashi see that Rashi translated the Ish last week to mean the angel of Esav, essentially the Yetzirah that seeks to destroy us, and this week as the great Malach Gavriel. If you've never heard that kasha before, I don't blame you for thinking that it's one of the greatest questions you've ever heard on your sojourn in this world. You'd be right. And even if you've heard it many times, it's still very impactful. The Sanzer Rebbe answered, because what was the context of each pasuk and each story that uses the word ish? In this week's parsha, when it talks about the ish and the reference is Gavriel, the pasuk says, "V'hinei toya basada." There was somebody lost. There was somebody who lost his way and was straying in the field. He needed help. Oh, there was an ish that offered help? There was someone who stepped up and offered to help? When you offer to help, that ish has got to be the great Malach Gavriel. But in last week's parsha, it says that Yaakov essentially asked the ish that he was talking to, could you give me a bracha? And the wrestling started. And what did the angel answer? I can't. I don't have time. I have to go. It's almost dawn. I'm too busy singing Shira. I can't give you a bracha. I don't have time. You don't have time? That's Sar Shalesov. What a pshat. When you don't have time or when you're too busy for other people, that ish is Sarah Shel Esav. But if as busy as you are, and by the way, we're all busy. We all have tons of things, lots of things. But when you still have time for a fellow person, no matter how busy you are, that ish is always going to be the Malach Gavriel. Might be one of the greatest pshatim we've ever heard. So what is it that I saw from Reb Chatzkel Abramsky that, with your permission, I'd like to just add as a part two to the pshat we just said from the Divrei Chaim? Reb Chatzkel Abramsky says, really, if you think about the order of the pasuk, look inside, please. Look inside with me, pasuk tezvav. Really, the order should be different. Really, the pasuk should say, v'hinei toya basada, that he, Yosef, was lost and wandering in the field. And then it should say, Vayimotze Ish, he found a person. The one who's lost, the one who's wandering, he's the one who finds somebody. So who did he find? He found the Ish, and Rashi says that was Gavriel. Yet it's interesting, says Reb Chatzkel Abramsky, the pasuk switches the order. Instead of doing what would have been the more natural order, Yosef was lost and he found somebody. And who was that that he found? The Malach Gavriel. It switches the order. And the pasuk says, Vayimtze'eyu ish, a man found him. And he was wandering. But why? Why does it have to be that way? Why can't it be that he, Yosef, was wandering, and he, as in Yosef, upon his wandering, subsequently found a man? We would think that that would be the order of the pasuk. Yes, the pasuk doesn't say this. The pasuk says, "Vayimtze'eyu ish." Not that he found the person found him. So Reb Chatzkel Abramsky says that Rashi brings the medrash that it was Gavriel because he was taka sent, and he was sent to help show Yosef the proper way. But based on the power of Reb Chatzkel Abramsky's kasha, I'd like to suggest, we said from the Divrei Chaim that a person who has time, a person who inquires, a person who cares about you, that's not Sarah Shalit of that Ish is Gavriel. I think the dimension that Reb Chatzkel Abramsky is adding is that not only are you there to help a person when the person comes to you, the person reaches out to you, and the person finds you and says, I'm lost. Can you help me? I'm wandering and going through a difficult time, emotionally and psychologically. Can you help me? But there's a greater level. Reb Chatzko Abramsky is talking about not when the person approaches you. You approach the person! You initiate it! I haven't seen you for a while. Are you okay? I've noticed lately, I'm not looking to pry, but I see that is something wrong? If the person wants to open up and tell you they will, and if they don't, they don't. But at least they'll know somebody cares.
According to Reb Chatzko Abramsky's question, based on the Varta of the Divrei Chaim, what makes a person the quality of the Ish of the Malach Avriyo is not only
that when you're approached, oh yes, I would love to help you. How can I help? But the person approaches you. But what about when you initiate? When you approach the person, something seems amiss, something seems wrong. I've noticed, I'm not prying, but I want to, if the person doesn't want to open up, they won't. And if they will, they'll only be too happy to. Maybe the level that we're looking for of the Malach, the Ish, Gavriel, is not only to be there for a fellow Yid, but to initiate, to anticipate, or to see. It's not always so easy for the other person to approach you. They may feel too bushed out. They may feel too embarrassed. They may feel, I just can't do this. But that you had the chachma to approach the person, vayimtze'ehu ish, you found the person, and not that you waited till the person found you, that's worthy of being the ish of the Malach Gavriel. If you take a look, Pasuk Yud Ches, go two psukim later, about 4 or 5 years ago, we said a similar pshat to the one I'm about to say, but this is actually based on the words of the Halakha Arachayim HaKadosh. Take a look at the pasuk, Vayiru Oisei Meirachayk. Literally, what does that mean? The brothers looked up, and they saw that Yosef was approaching from afar. Similar to the pshat we said a number of years ago, and from the great Halakha Arachayim HaKadosh, he wonders. The brothers had this sinna, this kinna. Of course, we have to be careful because we're talking about the Shiftei Kah, the great Shvatim. But they had sinna and kinna, hatred and jealousy towards their brother. Yet what did Yaakov Avinu do? Yaakov sent Yosef alone, essentially to check and to see how his brothers are doing. Take a look a little bit earlier. The pasuk says to see Shaloi Machecha, Shaloi Matzoin, in pasuk Yudalid, go and see how your brothers are doing. But 1 second. If the brothers had a sinna towards Yosef, then why? Did you ever think of that question? Take a look at pasuk Yudalid. What did Yaakov tell him? Told Yosef to see Shaloi Machecha and Shaloi Matzoin. Go check on the welfare of your brothers. But if the brothers have a sinna towards Yosef, then why did Yaakov send him alone, seemingly vulnerable, to check up on his brothers? If it was the same brothers who apparently wished to do him harm, the same brothers who had sinna, then why would Yaakov send Yosef alone to his brothers? Would that be danger? Why would he do that? The Arachayim HaKadosh says so beautifully, and it's based on what the Arachayim HaKadosh tells us, and this is similar to something I said a few years ago. The answer lies in the first 3 words of that pasuk I told you, pasuk Yud Ches. Look inside. Vayiru Oisei Meirachayk. Vayiru Oisei Meirachayk means that they only saw him from afar. Now, we're talking about the Shvatim, so we're going to be exceedingly careful. But when you only see somebody from a distance, as a stranger, you don't get to know them. You don't cultivate and develop that you realize the person is your brother. When the entire relationship is based on Vayiru Oisei Meirachayk, from afar, when there isn't time taken to recognize, to get close, in fact, look what the pasuk says after Vayir Oisei Meirachayk. Vayisnaku Oisei Lahamisei. They conspired to kill him. How could that happen? He was their brother. Because when a person's relationship is based on Vayiru Oisei Meirachik, you only know somebody from afar, from a distance. There isn't the chance to get to know the person that a lot of resentment and misunderstanding could build up. But if you take a look in 2 weeks at Parshas Vayigash, what's the opening pasuk of Parshas Vayigash? Vayigash Elo, Vayigash is on the word Hagosha, to get close. Oh, now you're getting close, now you're taking time, now there's the connection. What ends up happening between the Shvatim? Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, then harmony reigns supreme. If we would just apply that concept to our own life, so many of the misunderstandings and the misjudgments and the resentment that fosters within us comes from Vayiru Oisei Meirachik. I only know you from afar. I really didn't take time to look into a situation or to find out what might be troubling the person. The anger, the resentment, those feelings fester within the person when it's a relationship of Meirachik. But when it's a relationship of Vayigash Elav Yehuda, where one takes time to develop the relationship and to see how they could reconnect and show the affection and stability of their relationship, then that breeds Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Take a look, one final pshat, Perik Mem. For this we turn towards the end of the parasha. Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis. Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis. End of the parsha. Well, between the one in charge of the bread and the one in charge of the wine, you'd have to think only one was pretty happy that they told Yosef the dream. The other, I imagine, wasn't so happy. Yosef, of course, listens to the dream of both, but what does he tell the Sar Hamashkim, the one who's in charge of the wine? You are going to live. Great news, great ending for you. Not such a good report for the Sar HaOithim. He, unfortunately, was hung, just as Yosef interpreted the dream. I think that pretty much concludes Parshas Vayeshev. We're very familiar with Yosef's interpretation of the dream to the Sar Hamashkim and the Sar HaOithim. Many years ago, we said something over from Rabbi Chanan Vasim and Hashem Yimkom Damo. I'd like to say that and then add a pshat from the Meiri to conclude tonight's Parshas Insights into Parshas Vayeshev. The pshat we said a number of years ago from Rabbi Chanan is actually one of the most fundamental pshatim that we could possibly live with, and how smart we would be to make it part of our life. Listen to what Rabbi Chanan says. How did Yosef know, listening to the words of the Sar HaOithim, that he was going to be hung, and he listened to the words of the Sar HaMashkim, and he knew that great future ahead, that you're going to make it? How did he know from listening to the words of the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOithim to interpret one so positively and one so negatively? Rabbi Chanan, Hashem Yimkom Damo, says, take a look. Take a look yourself at the last few psukim of the parsha. Listen to the psukim, the phraseology of the words, of what it says. By the Sar HaOithim, the entire story happened. How much participation did the person, the Sar HaOithim, the one in charge of the breads, have? He had zero. Absolutely zero participation. If you take a look, the pasuk tells us that the basket was already on his head, and the basket was already filled with bread, and the bird came down and ate from it, and it happened, and it happened, and it happened. But as Rabbi Chanan says, Hu ba'atzmai? He himself, the Sar HaOithim, his participation in the story was zero. He was there passively. And a person who's passive is considered dead. Mashenkin, if you take a look at the Sar HaMashkim, the Sar HaMashkim did everything. The pasuk says in his dream when he gave it over, he said, I took the grapes, and I pressed the grapes, and I gave the wine. I did, and I did, and I did. You're a doer? You're active? Somebody who's a doer and an active person is destined to live. What a pshat from the great Rebbe Chanan. And what Rebbe Chanan means to tell us is, people can't go through life just being passive people, having everything done for them. The interpretation of the Sar HaOifim, who was entirely passive, who did nothing proactive, he wasn't destined to live. But when a person becomes a doer, when a person becomes somebody, and it's so interesting because what was the name of the one that was giving this interpretation of the dream? His name was Yosef. Yosef is from the word Lahosif. What does Lahosif mean? To add and add and add and do more and do more. Yosef was essentially interpreting his whole life. Do you know that when Esav was born, when Yosef was born, Rashi says this is the nemesis of Esav. What does Yosef have to do with Esav? They're not even in the same generation, because they are opposites of each other. Esav is from the word asui. What does asui mean? Made and complete, passive, I don't have to do anything. But what does the word Yosef mean? Lehosif, to add more and more and more and more active. Yosef was interpreting the dream because that's who he was. That was his name. He was the nemesis. He was the antithesis of Esav. Esav was asui, made, complete, passivity, not doing anything. That was Esav. That was the Sar HaOifim. But Yosef, who was the antithesis of that, Lehosif, to add, to grow, to do more, to be active, to be a part of what's going on in a vivacious way. That's how he knew to interpret the dream of the Sar HaMashkim. You are going to live. Because somebody who has that being active, somebody who has the life of Yosef, Lehosif, to do more and more, that person, for as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows them and gives them a privilege to be in this world, that person is alive. So I'd like to conclude with a pshat in the Me'iri. If you take a look a little bit earlier at Pasuk Yud Aleph, how many times, Perek Mem Pasuk Yud Aleph, how many times do you see the word kais in that pasuk? Four times. The kais paro biyadi, the first time. A little bit later, the pasuk tells us that he took it El HaKais, but the combination between the two psukim, I apologize. Then a third time it uses the word Kais, and a little bit later on, the pasuk after, V'nasata Kais Parai, a fourth time. There are four times a pasuk says the word Kais. The Me'iri tells us the reason that you have the word used four times. This explains one of the reasons why the night of the Pesach Seder, we drink four cups of wine. Because in these psukim, it says the word kais four times. Corresponding to the four times that it says the word kais, we drink Lel Seder, one of the reasons we drink the Dalet Kaisos. And the Me'iri goes on to explain, isn't that beautiful? The Me'iri goes on to explain that all of the events that surrounded the butler's dream and Yosef's interpretation, they became the seeds that eventually sprouted into the Geula from Shibur Mitzrayim, which we commemorate at the Seder. That's the Me'iri's explanation of why it says Kais four times, because it's one of the reasons we drink the Dalet Kaisos, commemorating those four times it says the word Kais, because if you think about it, this interpretation of the dream, the Sar HaMashkim, planted the seeds from which sprouted going into Mitzrayim, and ultimately the Geula from Sheba to Mitzrayim, the Ten Makos and crossing the Yamsuf. Perhaps we can add, based on what we said from Rebbe Chanan, that in order to go from a Shibud to a Geula, in order to go from that bondage of Shibud Mitzrayim and ultimately to Golus, when now we're searching for the Geula Shalema, remember the Dalet Kaisos, because when you remember the Dalet Kaisos, whose dream was that in? That was in the dream of the Sar HaMashkim. What was the motif and the theme of the dream of the Sar HaMashkim? To do, to be active, to get involved, to become like Yosef Lahosif. Oh, that indeed brings you from a Shibud and a Golus to a Geula. And I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, just like that's what happened then, that the Golus and Shibud of Mitzrayim turned into the Geula And it may very well be as a result of that dream of the Saramashkin, which represented active doing, getting involved, becoming a part of something great. That let that happen again now, that we live a life of the dream of the Saramashkin, where we do, where we're active, where we're Yosef, where we become a part of something great. And once again, Be'ezus Hashem, it should bring us from a galus and a shibud, but not just to any gula, to the gula shalema b'mheira and b'yameinu.